Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We've had a few conversations about missionaries here on Faith and Family, talking about missionary life and missionary family life. And we have another one today. We're going to have another missionary family life conversation. Hope you can join us for that as we talk with Reverend David Faulkner about missionary life and what lies ahead for them as missionaries to Uruguay. So hope you can join us for the conversation today as we're talking about missionary family life right here on Faith and Family. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, and the fine work that they're doing, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section. There you can find information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Just look for the CUW logo, and there you can find out more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me in studio today, the Reverend David Faulkner, serving as missionary to Uruguay. Welcome, Pastor Faulkner.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be with you this morning.
It's good to have some time to chat with you. We've been passing, seeing each other in passing here at the International Center with missionary orientation this year and at my congregation, and just having an opportunity to see you here and there and say hi, but now finally get some time to sit down and talk about what lies ahead for the Faulkner family. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background as a pastor and about the family as well.
Sure. Well, I was born in Texas, moved to Oklahoma, went to school at St. Louis Concordia Seminary, graduated in 1996, married my wife Julie. She's a Valpo grad and just finishing her second master's degree from Concordia University in Wisconsin in education technology. So she's the brains behind our newsletters and our Facebook page for the missionary work in Uruguay. We've got three kids. Mm-hmm. Grant is 15, Lily Grace is 12, going to be 13 soon, and Graham, our little guy, Graham Cracker, he is 10.
So heading to Uruguay with a wife, two teenagers soon,
yes.
and little Graham. What led you to consider international missions?
Well, it's funny. I never would imagine I'd be sitting in studio with you 2 years ago talking about being a missionary. A buddy of mine, Pastor Lee Hagen in Concordia, Missouri, invited me on a short-term mission trip to Cambodia and to China. And when he asked me to go, I really didn't think I was going to go. I came back home from the camp we were at, and I told my wife about it, and she said, "Of course you're going to go." And she was ready to pack my bags and get me going. So she was a big support in that. Had a great time. We passed out Bibles in the Khmer language to Cambodians. We were able to see what kind of work the LCMS does in China and different churches, and my eyes were open to the great work that the LCMS does with missions and how they support missionaries.
So it started with a short-term mission trip, and then you started thinking more and more about the possibility of serving as a missionary. Now, where are you in the process? You're obviously not in Uruguay right now.
Right.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be as dreary outside as it is right now. We would be sitting probably close to a beach and a little bit warmer weather. But so you're not in Uruguay yet. Where are you in the process of the missionary life?
We're in the network support model phase right now. So what we're doing as a team, my wife and I, and even the kids, they're part of this. We are traveling around Synod. I'll be preaching at churches on Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, Thursday evening services. My wife presents at LWML groups and Bible studies about the mission to Uruguay and what the LCMS has been planning for years with the Lutheran Church of Brazil, the Lutheran Church of Argentina. The Lutheran Hour Ministries even has a site there. So there's been a lot of work in the years before this time to find a mission site and to see what kind of families could match up to that. So we're asking for prayer support as we go around. We're asking for financial support and raising up prayer warriors for us because, you know, we're taking three kiddos, and that's a big deal. That's heavy on my heart. And that's the main thing, asking for prayer around our family as we get ready to go. Hopefully, we'll be there at the end of January. Usually takes up to about 6 months for missionaries to finally raise the funds that are needed to get going.
What are the? How are the kids preparing for life in Uruguay?
The kids are learning Spanish. They have taken sticky notes and written Spanish words on them. So the Spanish word for refrigerator is on our refrigerator. The Spanish word for sink is on the sink. And even our dog Daisy, our little miniature dachshund, has a little sticker on her that says perro, for dog.
So everybody's learning Spanish at home. It's probably, my guess is it's probably easiest for Graham.
Every time he wants to say yes, he says sí. Every time.
My guess is he's probably the most excited about learning a new language.
He's taken on the language, definitely, and is learning some words, but he still has lots of questions. He'll stop me and say, okay, I have lots of questions now. Are we taking the trampoline? things like that, that, you know, his little brain is worried about.
What are some of the questions? What are some of the things that that you and the family are concerned about making this transition from life as a pastor and his family here in the United States to being missionaries in South America?
Well, some of the simplest are the material things. The mm-hmm. Where do we put our things? What are we giving away? What are we storing? And we're finding that we need less and less as we have to make those decisions. But that's a big deal. You know, we've been married for 18 years, and a lot of our things we want to keep, a lot of the things we've had for 18 years, and the kids have colored on and beat up. And so, you know, they've got impressions of race cars in them that are, so a lot of that stuff is, it's time for it to be retired. And then there's the spiritual aspect. You know, I'm not at a parish, and that is a big deal. Not regularly as the pastor. So I even have a hard time not answering in the liturgy when I'm worshiping on the pastor's part. I'm the congregational part. So not being at a parish and not being part of a regular worshiping life, that's hard. I did not think about that. And that, you know, the kids are in and out of Sunday school, are in and out of catechism class right now. So those spiritual things are way heavy. So we gather together as a family and have our devotions at home. And it is fun to be at different congregations and see friends and meet people, but there's ups and downs.
Sure, you lack the regular community, a sense of community and fellowship that you have at a home congregation. But being able to be out across the synod and meet so many people around the synod, meet so many brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure that can be encouraging as well. So I hear what you're saying. There are challenges of not being in a home church, if you will, in your regular home congregation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, traveling around the synod, meeting all these people, meeting people around the church body, and sharing your story about preparing to go to Uruguay. What are some of the key things that you share about going to be a missionary in Uruguay?
Well, people want to know how I got there, like you asked mm-hmm. this morning. And part of it is, too, I was asked to serve part-time very quickly in last year at St. Michael Lutheran Church in the Czech Republic in Prague. And that experience, too, led me to where I'm at today. Julie, my wife, went with me, and our daughter, Lily Grace, went as well. And, you know, our eyes were opened again to how Synod supports their missionaries and the great work missionaries are doing. We had Bible study at the home of a Pakistani family, Christian family, had been persecuted in Pakistan and came to the Czech Republic, and they wanted the pastor to come to their home, open up the Bible in Czech and English and Farsi and read the scripture. So my daughter got to see firsthand what missionaries do. So that's part of the process of how we got here. They want to know about Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people have heard of this country. They're pretty sure it's in South America, but not altogether sure. I have a big globe and I bring the globe and point it out to them. And then they realize it's tucked in between Brazil and Argentina. And they want to know if it's hot and tropical. It's not. It's warm, very pleasant. And the culture, though, is altogether dark. The culture there is one where God's word has been intentionally, purposefully suppressed, not persecuted. The Constitution of Uruguay provides for religious freedom, but Christianity is not prevalent there. It is not, We know the Roman Catholic Church is very strong in Argentina and Brazil, and it's not in Uruguay. nor are other Christian religions. The Bible has been banned from media, from hospitals. So if you go to a hotel, there's no Gideon Bible there in the drawer like we see when we stay at a hotel. So the scriptures have really been not persecuted, but suppressed by the government intentionally. So philosophy, human reason, has been raised up in its place. And so this makes Uruguay a dark place without God's word.
So you've painted a picture for us here about the culture and what type of culture you're walking into. Have you ever been in an environment like that before? I mean, how is that comparable to life here in the United States, in a culture here? What do you think? How is that going to be challenging?
Yeah, probably not all that different. I've grown up in the South and the Midwest. We're still God's Word, the Bible. You know, I grew up in the Bible Belt, so God's Word influenced a lot of what we saw in our culture. But yeah, you're exactly right. A lot of what we see happening in America today, and I know your previous guest, Pastor Kirk Clayton, was talking about that in the Matthew Bible study. Mm-hmm. Not all that different from the United States today is Uruguay. There in Uruguay, because God's word has been suppressed, we see high rates of suicide, a dark culture, prostitution is very legal. A whole host of things happen there that a lot of people in the Midwest would not agree with. So it's going to be a culture that I'm concerned about for my kids, too. And that's why I always ask for prayers for my kids, because they're going to see or hear things that they probably have not heard about in Wausau, Wisconsin, where we're from.
So from Wausau, Wisconsin to Uruguay, tell us about the region. Where will you be living in Uruguay?
The capital city of Uruguay is Montevideo. And it means I see a hill. So the first explorers came in on those ships from Europe, and they must have seen one of the hills there and gave it that name. It's on the coast, the Atlantic coast. Very beautiful place. There's mm-hmm. palm trees and sandy beaches. Like I said, the temperature's pretty stable. There's no snow or ice. So if anyone is listening back home in Wausau, you can come and visit and get out of winter and enjoy some sun.
Take a little trip in January from Wausau down to Montevideo.
Exactly.
How long of a flight will that be for you to get from the United States here and to? I'm not sure where you'll be leaving from the U.S. Sure. to get to Montevideo, but how long of a flight are you looking at?
Yeah, my wife Julie figured it out. If we flew from Wausau, Wisconsin straight, it would be 18 hours. But most flights will fly out of Miami. Mm-hmm. Some fly right into Montevideo. Others fly into Buenos Aires. And then you catch a little plane over the river, and there you are. But it's a big trip.
Getting settled in, moving into the community and getting settled in there, what will the rest of the family be doing? Well, first of all, I guess we should talk about what you'll be doing
Sure.
as missionary, and then we'll talk about what the family's doing. What will your primary work be as missionary there?
I'm called as a church planter by the LCMS, and Julie is called as a teacher. Julie's going to be associated with Colegio San Pablo, St. Paul Lutheran School. And the great thing about this mission site, there are 1,200 students there.
Wow.
Big school. 1,200 students, about 250 staff. So Julie will be teaching at the school, and I'll be helping alongside in after-school activities, leadership programs, catechism class. There's a Lutheran church just across the block from the main campus of the school. So we'll be involved in the school heavily. The thing is, the school has grown so fast with the number of students, there was no way to keep up with Lutheran school teachers. So there's a lot of students, there's a lot of teachers, but very few of both are Lutheran. So we have been called in part to help raise up that sense and Lutheran identity.
So as a church planter, will you then be working on helping plant new congregations or growing new congregations?
That's the prayer and the mission. There's a Lutheran church there, St. Paul Lutheran Church, with a pastor. He's mm-hmm. Brazilian, so his native language is Portuguese. So he had to learn Spanish to come and pastor this congregation. And there's two mission sites that he helps with. The church and the school are located in a very nice, very safe, affluent area. And then the mission sites, very different settings. And so we're going to be helping out with those. And I'm going to learn how to play the mandolin a little bit better. I don't play the guitar because I'm a little guy. And the guitar is so big, I've always had problems with that. I play the organ, but there's no organs there so much. But guitar is more popular. So I'm going to practice the mandolin some more for use in the congregational's worship settings. So looking forward to doing some different kinds of things in that setting of the church.
And how about, you mentioned that Julie, your wife, will be serving as a teacher there in the school. Is there a specific subject or area in which she'll be teaching?
We're going to find out all those details soon because their seasons are altogether different than ours. In fact, backwards. They're just now planning for all of those kinds of things. But certainly she'll be teaching. She's going to be teaching students, but also teaching teachers there how to bring Christ into all of their lessons, into their math, reading, science lessons. So, for example, Andy, we saw pictures of the kids celebrating Earth Day. I guess that's in April sometime.
Here in the United States, I guess it's, I don't know if it's a world holiday or not.
Yeah,
yes,
I think it is now.
Mid-April.
They were all dressed in green to celebrate Earth Day, but because they've lost a Lutheran identity to such a degree, we want to raise up the idea from Scripture that God created the heavens and the earth, and that we are then good stewards of what God has given us. So there's some teaching to be done in every academic area.
So she has her work cut out for her just as well. How about the kids? What will, any idea what will life be like for them? Will they be attending the school there or another school in the area?
Sure.
Tell us about what life will be like for the kids or what you anticipate it'll be like.
Yeah. No, we anticipate that the kids will be with us at the school. And that is a real joy for me to go to work, where Julie goes to work, where the kids are at school, and for us to be together. And talking to other missionaries, and especially missionary kids, they have told us that you are going to get ready to be very close to each other. And that's one thing I really wanted in this experience. Like I said, my oldest is 15, and in 3 years, he may be out of the house. He may be working or in school, whatever he decides to do. So it's a time for my family to be even closer than we are. The school teaches in Spanish, but, and here's why it makes, and here's why mission is possible there for us, because they will teach the core courses in English. So all the kids, my kiddos, can take math, reading, science, chemistry in English. Now, they're going to have teachers who are not native English speakers, so they're going to have to tune their ears to these teachers and listen real carefully to what they're saying. But then in other classes like PE and music, those will be in Spanish. So again, my kids are learning Spanish along with us so they can get right into the classrooms and the community and be little gospel lights themselves.
Now, you mentioned some of the questions that your youngest, Graham, has brought forth. What about what are the questions that your older children have had about making this adjustment? I can't imagine as a 15-year-old that there might be some excitement about moving to a new culture, but also some fear or maybe even disappointment about leaving friends here in the United States.
Yeah, definitely all of those emotions were running through our family the first time I introduced this idea to them. My oldest is doing great with it, and I'm really proud of him. He helps us with Spanish. He's in Spanish, too, at his Lutheran high school in Wausau, and he makes up little worksheets for me with the verbs being conjugated correctly and vocabulary lists. So I know his heart is on this path with us. And I was really afraid, you know, for all the kids, that this would be overwhelming. But Andy, the Lord has given them a calmness about this and an energy too. My daughter Lily, she's the one that went with us to the Czech Republic. And she was there for about 3 weeks and saw how mission works. So she's like me. She's ready to go today if we could. And she's anxious to meet new people. She has no problem meeting new people and talking and visiting and asking questions.
How's your wife, Julie, preparing for her work and service as a teacher in the school and being a wife and mom in another culture?
She's the bravest of us all, I say. She has just really impressed me in her faith, and she is my support and rock, and I can't thank her enough. Number one, Andy, for being open to this idea that a lot of people would think was crazy, you know. So when I came home and told her about the beginnings of my interest in missions, she was with me. You know, I can't say that she understood all the time, but she's so supportive. So she's learning Spanish. She's looking through her teaching materials, what she might bring. That's going to be a challenge because we're going to bring two suitcases at 50 pounds each. We've decided to pack clothes and a pot and a pan and our favorite pillow so we can sleep at night. But we're going to be limited to what we can take. And as a teacher, you know, the teachers out there listening know that you've got tons of material you want to share and you want to use. So she's going to be using the internet a lot and a lot of resources there from CPH. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she's finishing her master's from Concordia University, Wisconsin in educational technology. So she knows how to use Skype. And I'm probably not even going to say it correctly, all the different kinds of internet possibilities. I always say, Andy, I say, I'm going to get on the email right now. And she laughs at me how I say that in an old-fashioned way.
Well, so much lies ahead. So many questions, I'm sure, still for everybody, but so exciting to hear about the opportunities that lie ahead as well. And all the fun things, I'm sure, the fun experiences that you have in making this transition as well. What about during time off? Tell us about the community in which you'll live. We've learned a little bit about the culture. You've expressed that it's a culture that has really kind of been void of Christianity to some degree. But what else do you know about the community in which you live? You mentioned the school there and the church there. What else do you know about Montevideo and where you'll be living?
Well, it has a history of Spanish and Portuguese battling each other in centuries past. And I think that's part of why religion has been not on their radar. I think they had seen enough of religious wars, and human philosophy has been raised up. So, for example, if there was a street or a public space or a park named after somebody religious years past, that's been erased. And they have renamed these things with the names of philosophers like Rousseau. And education is great. We are very strong proponents of education, but education without Christ is going to be empty. And so that's what we're finding in the culture. My wife and I are looking forward to finding those ways in the community and in that culture to be gospel lights, to be strong Lutheran missionaries, at the same time recognizing that many people there, even parents or children at the school, might even be offended in some ways by mm-hmm. this message of Jesus Christ beaten, crucified, and dying.
So you're moving into a culture that sounds very humanist.
Exactly.
That's been void of the gospel in many places, many ways. When you have time off, what are some of the things that you think you'll get to get out and explore in Uruguay? It's one of the countries and cultures that I really don't know very much about, and I don't know if our listeners are kind of in the same boat. Are there sites to see, things like that you've learned about? What have you learned about Uruguay over the last few months, the last 6 months or so that you're looking forward to discovering and exploring there?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the beaches in Uruguay, I'm told, are even more beautiful than what you'll find in Brazil or Argentina. So it's a vacation spot for people from those two countries. One place, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Puente Esta, is a very popular place for vacationers to go to. And in Uruguay, you don't think of Uruguay as a vacation spot. Mm-hmm. So it's not as crowded, it's not as built up, and there are some almost kind of secret places, beaches where very few people are at, and you could sit on white beach and white sandy beaches and watch the sun come up or go down. I guess I'd have to figure out which way it's coming up or down. I'm not there yet.
It's really a nice vacation destination because it's not a popular tourist attraction. it's not like going to Florida, huh?
No. And I'm looking forward to the huge amounts of grilled and smoked beef that they have. It's called asado, and it's kind of like Texas barbecue. And I'm from Texas, and when I fly back home, that's one of the first things I do when I get off the plane. My brother Brian takes me to barbecue, and we eat. So there's big grills. Beef is laid out, and it's grilled and smoked. We're just looking forward to the different fruits and vegetables that are there as well. You know, in Cambodia, I was able to eat some really strange-looking fruits with spiny, prickly outside parts, but delicious insides. So God has wrapped his creation in some strange-looking things, but delicious inside. So that'll be fun, too.
Are there cultural traditions that you've learned about so far that you're looking forward to experiencing once you get there?
I am, and Andy, the one thing, and I always laugh when I think about this, but I want my wife and I to at least try to tango. Tango is popular in Argentina, not so much in Brazil, but there's a battle, I understand, as to who owns the tango. Is it Uruguay or is it Argentina? There seems to be a big debate between those two countries. So we're going to at least give that a try and see how we tango together.
So it sounds like there's certainly some influence across the countries in South America. So there's some Argentinian influence in Uruguay as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a far trip to make by car or by ferry to Buenos Aires.
Ah, traveling. How will you be getting around Montevideo?
Not sure just yet. We've looked into this. There is a bus system throughout the city. But because Uruguay is so small, they don't produce a whole lot of things. And so if you wanted to have a car, a lot of those are brought into the country. They're imported. And then the government likes to make money. And one way to do that is to put a high tax on automobiles. So cars are very expensive there unless you get a very small one. And we have three children, and so we're used to having a minivan to get around. But it is fun to learn a bus system. And in Prague, my wife and daughter and I just hopped on the subway, and we just ride around and find out where this takes us and learn by watching people and asking people questions, not being afraid to use our Spanish and ask, where does this go, or will it take me here or there? So we're pretty brave.
So bus is the most common, most popular means of travel in Montevideo?
Absolutely.
Very good. We are talking about missionary life with the Reverend David Faulkner, and he and his family will be heading to Uruguay in the near future. Well, and hopefully in the next 6 months to a year, they'll be heading there to serve as missionaries. And so we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Faulkner about missionary life and serving in Uruguay. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When Obamacare was being hotly debated, President Obama made several public statements. He said, under government-controlled health care, you could keep your doctor. He said you could keep your current health care plan. The President also said Obamacare wouldn't use your tax dollars for abortion. All of these statements weren't true, and the President knew it at the time he said them. The nonpartisan Government Accountability Office says we're paying for abortion on demand in over 1,000 plans. Plus, the government isn't following laws by informing you what plans include abortion. I don't use the word liar lightly. I respect the office of the president, but this president's made many false statements that you and I know to be lies. It's why your vote this November is critically important.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
When it comes to financial security, there's one name you should know.
Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. You have a unique way of looking at the world, so do we.
We're a faith-based membership organization that exists to serve our members.
Our focus is on helping you be wise with money, live generous lives, and thrive.
Work with someone who truly understands what's important to you.
To find a Thrivent Financial representative near you, contact 314-783-4200.
Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Do you have a reason to reach out to us at Worldwide KFUO? Is there a piece of communication you'd like for us to receive? It's not hard to reach us. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. If you missed it, the street address is found at the bottom of our homepage online, kfuoam.org. Every day we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
It's a face-off on the footbridge.
You're to let me cross over first because I'm a girl.
Boys never go back.
On one side, Nancy Wright.
My father is an admiral in the Queen's Navy.
On the other side, Teddy Platt.
My father was a hero in the Queen's Army.
It's a showdown that will go down in history, or at least in the water, as the most popular Lamplighter book of all time comes to life in Teddy's Button on the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with the Reverend David Faulkner, preparing to serve as missionaries in, preparing the whole family to serve as missionaries in Uruguay, going to Montevideo, hopefully in the next 6 months or so, hopefully by the end of January, is that what you said?
Actually, the end of January is our target date.
So just a few months, not that far from now, be loading up on a plane with your two bags each.
Exactly. 50 pounds, no more.
Loading up with your bags and heading to sunny Montevideo, where you probably won't have to bring as many sweaters with you, huh?
No. We're going to leave those packed up or give those away to Bethesda and whoever else needs them.
And preparing to serve in Montevideo, where there's a congregation, some mission sites, and a school as well. But in a culture that has really kind of been void of the scriptures, of the gospel, of Jesus and Christianity, and as you said earlier, not really persecuting it, but certainly suppressing it, hiding it, turning away from it. It sounds like they're not necessarily outwardly angry or vicious toward Christians and Christianity, but certainly don't want to hear much about it, is what it sounds like from what you've described.
Right. And the culture shows that. There's a high rate of suicide in the culture. And that, I think, is in part because Christ is not present. There is little hope apart from people earning more money, getting a bigger apartment or house or a more luxurious car. And so this is a country where we're excited to go, having a mission site. And the mission site is already there. The church and the school and the two mission sites that the Brazilian pastor has been working at. And at the school, Colegio San Pablo, St. Paul Lutheran School, there are two Lutheran pastors. They're not LCMS, so we're going to be the first LCMS pastors and teachers going down. And I say we, I mean my friend, Pastor James Sharp, and his wife, Angie, LCMS teacher headed down as well. So Pastor and Angie, if you're listening, hello to you. We'll hopefully see you soon there. But the Brazilian pastor of the church, St. Paul Lutheran Church, learned Spanish because being Brazilian, he speaks Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And the chaplain of the school, Christian Hoffman, he very much is anxious for us to get there and to be a big help to him. And it was in July, Andy, we met with Mauro Roll, who is the director of the school. Kind of think principal, but it's a bigger role than that because there's four campuses, 1,200 students. This is a big job. Mm-hmm. We met with Mauro at Mequon at the campus there and talked about what would we'd be doing, especially the teachers, Angie Sharp and my wife, Julie. So they're anxious for us to get there because they know the culture well, and they know Christ, and they know the need for Christ in the school. And we've got little kids. That's going to be our focus to work with. Julie and Angie are going to be in the classrooms, so they're going to be incorporating Christ in the mathematics classes, incorporating the stories of David and Goliath, of Noah and the Ark into social studies, and teaching teachers how to teach Christ as well.
As you are looking at what you're embarking on, tell us about the history of the church and the school there. Who started, who made the venture into Uruguay and Montevideo and planted the first church there or helped start the school there? Who are the Lutherans, who are the Christians who started this mission in Montevideo?
It's great to have a school right there. You never would have imagined a school of 1,200, a Lutheran school in Uruguay, but there it is because a congregation in Brazil about 50 years ago, led by a pastor there, established this school. And then it was a very strong Lutheran school. It's still a very strong school, strong in education, and has a great reputation. I'm told that the president of Uruguay had even sent his children there. And one of the campuses of this school, it's actually called a castle. It's next to the presidential palace. So it's in a very beautiful park district of Montevideo. But the school was established 50 years ago, and like I said, it grew so fast with students, they could not keep up with Lutheran school teachers. And so Angie and Julie will be the first LCMS school teachers in there, if not ever, in a long time.
So I'm sure that will be a blessing to have Lutheran teachers, LCMS teachers who will be serving there and making that transition into a new environment with a new language.
Exactly. And there's all sorts of things that are possible with this mission site. We've talked about, these are ideas, the things that might come to pass. Julie might be able to take a group of Uruguayan students from mm-hmm. Uruguay to the United States to see one of our Lutheran schools in Wisconsin or Texas or California. She's certainly going to be able to Skype in her classroom with classrooms in the United States. We've even talked about possibility of trips to India and China and the UK, and the possibility, too, of student teachers from some of our Concordia universities coming mm-hmm. down to Uruguay. So there's all types of ideas that are out there to make this just a really exciting mission site.
Any idea? I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe you do know what the time difference is. Is there much of a time difference?
No, this is going to be a nice thing about being in Montevideo. There are 2 hours ahead of us. So I always call my mom on Friday morning and check in with her. She tells me, who got their yard mowed that day and where she's going to go shopping and, the usual things that moms and sons talk about on a Friday morning over a cup of coffee. So just 2 hours difference, not a big deal.
Well, so it essentially the same as Pacific time here then.
Yep.
Very good. Well, in preparation for the going to Uruguay, we've talked about gathering support. And so where have you been to visit? What are some of the congregations you've been to visit? And where are you headed? And how can folks find out more about supporting this mission work in Uruguay?
Yeah, definitely. It's been exciting to go see friends again, classmates from seminary, and meet new pastors as well. This past week, I was at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Concordia, Missouri. So, Pastor Hagen, if you're listening, thanks for having me. We appreciate being there. And this week, I'm going to be at St. Paul in Farmington, Missouri. And that'll be about, that's 9 days of travel altogether. And then I'll be back home in Wisconsin. Was last in Wisconsin at Zion Colby, Wisconsin. So if you've ever eaten Colby cheese, comes from Colby, Wisconsin.
Oh, very good. Well, I give my regards and my greetings to all the saints at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Farmington, some my old stomping grounds during my early days of college, studying here in Missouri for 2 years before going to Concordia University in Chicago. So I pray your visit there is a wonderful one. The great folks there. Well, so you visited congregations. You've got more congregations to visit, more places to visit to help gather that support, to build up that network of support to support you while you're serving in Uruguay. Other ways that folks can support you. Obviously, your calendar is probably booked in terms of congregations to visit. So, what are other ways that listeners can find out more about the work that you're doing in Uruguay?
Sure. Yeah, I'm scheduled out already for, I think, every Sunday except for one through the end of the year. We found out that December the 21st, Sunday the 21st, is the day most churches have their children's Christmas program. So I've kind of shied away from that Sunday, but most of my Sundays are filled. And then in between Sundays, then I'm at LWML groups, men's Bible studies. I'm going to be at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6:30. So, Pastor Golden, if I'm not there at 6:30, I'm coming right around. Don't worry, I'll be there. But one way you can learn more is to receive our newsletter. And like I said, Julie, my wife, she's the brains behind this. She has excellent skills in putting this together with photography and using computers. At julie.faulkner@lcmsintl.org, you will be able to reach her. And if you would like to receive our newsletter, which is called Day by Day in Uruguay. We thought hard and long about what rhymes with Uruguay, and we were really stumped for a few things, but we were reminded of the Psalms and that day by day the Lord is with us. So julie.faulkner@lcmsintl.org is the address to subscribe to our newsletter.
So you can find it, that information on the LCMS website, lcms.org/Faulkner, will point you to that information. You can find the newsletter and just information about the family, and including everybody's birthday if they want to send you all birthday cards or greetings while you're serving there.
Absolutely.
In Uruguay.
And we're on Facebook too. Easy enough to find on Facebook.
And so that we can pray for you, especially. Birthdays are a great time to remember our missionaries in prayer. And what does it mean to be able to have partners in this missionary journey that you're going on? What does it mean to have the support of others here across the Synod?
Yeah, right. Exactly. All of the missionaries that are going out raise up their financial support. And so like the new 35 missionaries from this last group that went through orientation in June here in St. Louis, we are out presenting, preaching, teaching about the mission to Uruguay. And at that time, we need to raise up all of the support. I believe it's 75% of that first year is needed before we can actually be deployed into the field. And so a lot of different things happen, Andy, at a church. A church may, once I am invited there or find that the pastor is interested in learning more and can come and preach, they may simply have a free will offering that Sunday morning. Thank the Lord for those free will offerings given in love. They may even decide to take on my family as a mission in their budgets. Mm-hmm. Congregations are doing that kind of budget work right now in this time of the year. And I just found out that another congregation back home in Wausau, Wisconsin, St. Mark, has decided to do that through their budget at their last voters' meeting. So to the brothers and sisters there, I thank you very much. It can be a regular yearly donation that's given. One-time gifts are received, and then pledges. A fellow brother that I've known for 30 years has just decided to give a certain amount every month, and he's been a great friend, and I appreciate that. So there's all different ways that gifts can be made individually or through LWMLs and men's groups, and churches together can work with the Synod and the TIM program, Together in Mission. And so when I am scheduled to be at a church, Synod does a great job sending out information to pastors and to churches on how they can help support missionaries. They get the paperwork out there and provide a lot of that logistical and technical support that we need as we raise up those needed prayers and finances.
Just a little bit ago, you mentioned the new missionary orientation. And I'd like to talk about that for a little bit. When we as a church body, as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, prepare missionaries, we don't just say, okay, great, now go. You want to be a missionary? Now pack up and go. Tell us about that orientation and what is included in that orientation, how the church body prepares you. Because I know you're here for, about 2 weeks for that orientation. So
exactly.
What all does that entail?
Yeah, those were two great weeks, Andy. I had the call, and my wife did too, at the end of May. At the end of May, we knew some things about this mission site, but there was still a lot that we just did not understand. And so the Synod has set apart 2 weeks for orientation. And some of the missionaries had already accepted their calls. But Julie and I, we wanted to learn a lot more about this and understand what was going to be required of us as missionaries. So for 2 weeks, we lived in a hotel room. Synod was gracious enough to give our kids their own room next door so we could keep an eye on them but have some quiet. And we learned about all the kind of technical things that go along with being a missionary. Starting with how do you get there? Where are you going to live? Who's going to come and be a pastor to you? How are the kids supported? So all these kinds of things. And Julie, my wife, she certainly has a lot of questions dealing with the health of the kids. So Synod provides a great insurance program for missionaries. And since we're going to be overseas and traveling, it's global. So we have learned that that policy and plan will provide care for us no matter where we are across the globe. And it's kind of fun, Andy, on the insurance card, it says expatriate, which means, you know, you're living out of the country. And so this is who we are now, expatriates. And when I give that card at the doctor's office, they're a little confused by what that means. And I get the opportunity to say, well, I'm an LCMS missionary going to Uruguay. But it was a great 2 weeks, and they even had programs for our kids, and they got to know some other missionary kids while they were here and learned some Spanish. So hats off to everybody and Missionary Services for taking care of us.
What does it mean to you as a missionary going out to have that kind of support here, to have that orientation, that training to prepare you for that, for this new life as missionaries in Uruguay?
I think it meant everything for my wife, Julie, who knew missionaries in the past, but was very nervous about this big leap of faith. And so when she found out all of the technical support through the computer for newsletters, for fundraising, for insurance, for help finding a place to live and meeting other missionaries in the orientation, her heart was really settled, and the Lord took care of her concerns in that way. And we had the great blessing of her joining me to Prague for those 2 weeks while we were at St. Michael. So she knew, you know, a lot more than a lot of other missionary wives as well, having had that firsthand experience. But yeah, we drove down to orientation, not so sure if we were accepting these calls, really. We had a lot of unanswered questions. And when we drove back, we said, yep, we can do this. The Lord has given us every good gift that we have, and we are so blessed and blessed by our Synod. We can do this.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit, considering becoming a missionary. Joining us in studio today, David Fiala, Associate Director of Recruitment for the Office of International Mission and Fellow Director of Christian Education. David, welcome to Faith and Family. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me here.
We've been sharing David Faulkner, Pastor Faulkner's story today about them preparing to go serve in Uruguay and the whole story of how he, we got to share earlier, the story of what sparked that interest in becoming an international missionary. For someone who might be interested, like Pastor Faulkner here today, what might you share with them if they're maybe just, you know, have an inkling, thinking about becoming a missionary?
Goodness. What to do if you think you ought to be a missionary? I would suggest the first thing that you do, on top of praying about this, is talk to other people. Talk to your Christian friends. Talk to your local pastor. Talk to your spouse if you're married. Talk to your children. It doesn't matter what age they are, even if they're young, talk to them. Get them praying about it. Ask as many questions as you possibly can. If you're able to, connect with a missionary who's already in the field. Ask them questions. Pray, pray, pray. That's what I would suggest. That's a good place to start.
Start with prayer. And then, and talking with family, talking with other missionaries. And the advantage of the technology that we have today, as you were talking about earlier, Pastor Faulkner, that, you know, using Skype and other technology, we can connect with missionaries all around the globe now. Does that make it a little bit easier for you and your family packing up and moving to the other side, to the Southern Hemisphere? Does that make it easier for you and your family, especially for extended family, knowing that you have that technology?
Definitely. Yeah, we've got to get my mother hooked up to Skype. She's like me. She's a little little slow learning how to use technology, but we're going to get you there, Mom. Don't worry. And it's been great for my wife, Julie, to connect with the other wives of missionaries as well. You know, they're on Facebook and talking about the whole thing about storage and the kids and how their hearts are doing. And so it's just a completely different world for missionaries today with the advances of technology.
Thinking about becoming a missionary, I'm sure there are lots of questions. One of those questions might be, how are we going to make that transition? How are we going to adjust to life in a new culture, in a new world? What kind of support, David Fiala? We have two Davids in the studio today. What kind of support will missionaries have when serving in an international setting?
After spending the recent 9 years in the foreign mission field with LCMS International, my wife and I, and our kids, I think we can say that the support you receive from the team that is based here in Missionary Services at the International Center in Kirkwood, Missouri, they're top-notch. The folks here in the building care about where the missionaries are, how the missionaries are doing, what the missionaries are doing, and it is their calling and their service to make sure that concerns, issues, whether it's paperwork for visas or travel or if it's health related, they're here to support you. They're here to work with you. They're here to serve you. And in those 9 years, I can say we had emergencies. We had things that happened. We had to work with folks back here in the States, and we didn't know when something would happen, how it was going to end. But there was somebody here who answered the phone, who already had a disaster plan in mind and said, hey, here are the steps. Here's what we suggest. And in your specific cultural setting, maybe it's going to shift a little bit. And they were very willing to work with us. And it was an amazing network. And I believe that Christian Bailke and his team of people working in missionary services are top notch. And they have a heart for the missionaries who they care for.
With just about 30 seconds left, if someone is interested in becoming a missionary, where can they find out more information?
If you go to lcms.org and you kind of sift through there for international service opportunities, you're going to find a link to a document that's called a missionary service inquiry. That is the beginning of the process where you can apply, as it were, or at least make an inquiry of, could I be called to missionary service? This is the document that begins it all.
Very good. So you can check it out, lcms.org. You can look for international mission there on the lcms.org website and find out more. And if you want to find out more about the Faulkner family as they're preparing to go serve in Montevideo, Uruguay, you can find out more on their page as well, lcms.org/Faulkner. And you can read their story there. You can see their beautiful family picture there. I love the picture.
Thank
Here
you.
Here I am. Send
That's
me.
That's my wife
and me.
Again.
And we.
Yes.
Yep, there's a teacher in the family. Well, I have enjoyed the conversation today, gentlemen. And thank you so much for being my guest on Faith and Family. It's been just a fun conversation hearing your story, and look forward to hearing you. Hopefully you'll check in with us throughout the year. Keep us posted on how things are going. Maybe we can even Skype once in a while and share your story and get some updates for our listeners.
Love to do that, Andy. Thanks for having me.
My guest today has been the Reverend David Faulkner, missionary to Uruguay. Pastor Faulkner, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
And also David Fiala, Associate Director of Missionary Recruitment for Offices of International Mission. David, thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.
Join the Lutheran Elementary School Association for the second annual Brew in the Lou Festival on Saturday, October 18th at Kohlberg Hall at Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Brew in the Lou will feature food and beverage sampling, live German music, dancers, arts and crafts, and much more. For information, you can call area code 314-268-1525. That's to purchase your wristband, or also visit their webpage, lesastl.org. That's lesastl.org.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. On air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.